Later this week, guitarist Jesse Cook and his band will perform at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. The classical flamenco and world music guitarist touches on a wide range of styles on his instrument. Last month, Timothy Dennis reached Cook via phone from his home in Canada to talk about the upcoming performance in Fayetteville, which is part of a broader tour throughout the South and southeastern U.S. Among other things, Timothy asked Cook whether there was any one style of world music that particularly influences his music.
I think because, you know, as a guitarist, my voice in it has that sort of Spanish guitar sound. Mm-hmm. I will often lean on the Moorish influence, you know, that the Moors, as you probably know, ran Spain for, the southern Spain for 700 years,
right.
You know. So there was a time in history where, you know, the capital of southern Spain would have been Baghdad. And so for me, when I find when I mix, you know, that guitar playing that I do with Arabic violins or Persian sounds and Persian cadences, there's a kind of a shared history there. There's a kind of shared roots thing that just they really sort of sit beautifully together. So that's always been a kind of fertile area for exploration in terms of, you know, other forms of music. There is really nowhere that I'm not happy to go off and try. You know, like I had a crazy experience last year when I went and toured in China and discovered that there's a part of China, you know, no matter where we were, these guys would show up from a different part of China that I'd never been to. And they said, you know, they have a music there that sounds a bit like flamenco. And so they themselves, like, there are a lot of flamenco guitarists in China who kind of came to it because their own music was so close to that, which totally surprised me. I would have thought that, you know, musically, that they're so far apart that there wouldn't be any kind of shared history there. But you know, that's the kind of magic of world music, and you know, all these roots that kind of swirl around the world. We don't even know always how they get there.
Right.
You know, like the influence of African rhythms in most forms of music, whether it's jazz or pop or all of the different Latin American music forms, and, you know, or the fact that even some of those forms went back to Spain with sailors in the 1800s and rumba flamenco was created, you know, that sound that sort of 100 years later is what the Gypsy Kings were doing. You know, that came from Africa, that's round trip through Cuba. It's always amazing to me how that all works.
So much of your music is instrumental. What kind of story or message are you trying to tell your audience just through the music?
You know, it's funny. I don't have, as you say, I don't have lyrics. It's instrumental music. I'm not really about sort of telling people stories or telling them, you know, something specific. But I do feel that at this time, you know, we live in a time when people are back to talking about, you know, building walls and all that business. You know, there was, when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s or whatever, people, they were tearing down the Berlin Wall. You know, that was where we were at that point. And I sort of feel like now with Brexit and all of this, we're back to kind of really focusing on the differences between us. And I always feel that music, when you're making global music, there have been so many times where I've been in some country where I couldn't speak the language at all.
Right.
And yet, you know, I've been introduced to musicians. I was in China one time and I was in a theater in Beijing and they said, could you play with these Tibetan musicians? And I said, sure, I'd love to. And so I met these musicians backstage and we realized we didn't have one word in common. We couldn't even say hello. And I thought, how are we going to do this? And we pulled out our instruments and we started playing and we discovered, in fact, we do have a language in common, which is music. Music is the universal language. It's a cliche, you hear it all the time, but in my life, it has been an actual fact, a reality that I've lived so many times that I do feel like, you know, if music can kind of cross cultural boundaries, if music, when you take music from different cultures and they mix it together and it sounds so beautiful, I sort of feel like maybe music has something it can teach us.
Now, I read somewhere that your music came into broader attention as background music as a cable channel guide. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, in my 20s, I was a composer. I did music for, you know, television and theater and dance. And you know, basically, I had to say yes to everything to make a living at the beginning, you know, when you first get out of music school. And I had written some music that was bought by a TV station, and they didn't say what they were going to use it for. They, you know, there was a, like a Baroque piece I'd written and a piano piece, and there was a guitar piece. And the guitar piece was me sort of playing actually the way I play now on the guitar. Everything else was other compositions I had done, but, you know, that were parts of other genres and things. And every time that one guitar piece would get played on this television station, and I think they were using it, as you said, as background on the TV Guide channel or something, yeah. Every time that piece would play, the switchboard would light up at the local cable network, and, you know, some poor woman would be saying, you know, what do you want? And they'd be saying, I want to get that piece of music. What was that music? You know, and she'd say, I don't know. Let me pass you to our music consultant. You know, and they would sort of make, they'd end up getting passed to many different people. Eventually somebody would say, I don't know. We bought this piece of music from this guy, Jesse Cook. Here's his number, you know. And all through the year, I just kept getting phone calls at home from people saying, I want to buy this piece of music. And I kept saying, listen, I'm just a composer. I don't actually make music for the public. I'm sorry, it's not something I'm set up to do. And but by the end of that year, I had a lot of friends who kept saying, you should make an album of your own music, you know, of your guitar playing, because at that point I was more writing for the orchestra, for everything, you know. And they said, no, you should do the music that you do personally, because there is something that's kind of deeper about that than the other music that you compose. Because it's more you. And I by the end of the year, I thought, okay, I'll do this. You know, because if I don't do it now, maybe I'll never do it, and then I'll wonder, what if? And I really was convinced nothing was going to happen. I made the first record, Tempest, and by the end of that year, I went and got, you know, I was going to get 500 of them manufactured, and then they say, you know, for pennies more, I could have 1,000. I thought, oh, God, what am I going to do? There's going to be 1,000 CDs in my basement for the rest of my life. And I remember loading them in the back of my car thinking, oh, this is just not a good idea. Anyway, miraculously, they were gone by the end of the week. You know, I got an interview on the radio up here in Canada, and they flew out the door, and immediately the record stores were saying, we need 2,000 more, 3,000 more. And around the same time, I was getting calls from a bunch of record companies in the States, and I signed with a record company out of Milwaukee, and they got me into the Catalina Jazz Festival that September. And all of this happened so fast. I remember, again, it was one of those things where I remember trying to talk them out of, you know, sending me to the Catalina Jazz Festival, because I said, no one's going to want to watch this live, you know. And we played at Catalina, and the place went crazy. You know, that there was like a little store, like a variety store, you know, that sold you know, t-shirts from Catalina Island and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And they called on the Monday. So we played over the weekend. On the Monday, they called up this record label that I was signed to, and they said, we want to order 10,000 CDs. And the guy who took the call almost fell out of his chair. He's like, are you a chain? And they said, no, we're one store. And so they went, the guy went and got the president of the company, who came and personally took the call, and they were all in shock. And then by that Wednesday, the Billboard chart came out, and my album had debuted at number 14. And it was just like this insane moment where one moment I was completely unknown to everybody, including my own family. and the next minute, I'm on the Billboard charts, and I realize, oh my God, my life is about to change forever. And you know, ever since, this has been what I do.
Well, Jesse, I think that's all the time we have for questions. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Guitarist Jesse Cook speaking with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis last month. He'll perform at 8 Friday night at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Tickets begin at $25. More at waltonartscenter.org.